right, here we go. Judges chapter 6. Turn there if you would, please. Let's stand together just real quickly. Stand just for a moment while I read the scriptures. Let the crowd find their place and those in the orchestra. Thank you very much, every one of you, for your participation here in College Days. And we certainly thank God for each of you being present today, looking forward to the opportunity to share the rest of the time together with you. Judges chapter number 6. Let's begin reading verse number 1, can we please? And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. Anytime we do what is wrong, you can expect captivity. And that's what happened. He said, you didn't obey me, and so I'll let you have your way. And what's going to happen? You're going to be a prisoner of someone. Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone's going to captivate you. Either it's going to be the Lord, or it's going to be other people that you'll run into their arms if you run away from the Lord. And it's sad, but that's what God's people did. They did evil, and God delivered them into the hands of the Midian. And it was not pretty. It was 7 years of total torture. Let's read about it if we can, please. Verse number 2. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds. And so it was that when Israel had sown, the Midianites came, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou come into Gaza. Of course, Gaza, a very important part of our world's chatter at the present time, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. In the verse number 5, the Bible tells us, they came up with their cattle and their tents, and there came with the grasshoppers for the multitude, for both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. Would you read verse number 6 with me, everyone? And Israel... The Bible tells us they got overwhelmed because they would plant their fields and the enemy would come and harvest or burn their crops. When there was time to harvest, they would set them on fire. And they began to invade their property with more camels and more. They just came to stay and they just destroyed them. It was overwhelming and they cried, said, God, would you have mercy on us? This 7 years have been horrible. Let's see what the Bible does. God does do, and he heard their cry. Now look at verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak that was in Ophrah. And it pertained to Joash the Abrazite and his son Gideon, threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So he found enough food and started smashing it, making it flour or cornmeal. And he was hiding from anyone that would come and steal it from him. The Midianites were doing it, so he was doing it on the winepress rather than at the wheat press. Look at verse number 12. Read it with me, would you please? And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. And Gideon said to him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where is all of his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring them up out of Egypt? From Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Verse 14, read it with me, would you please? And the Lord. And he said unto them, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Because, behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house and the youngest in their home. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Verse number 18, we'll conclude with this verse, everyone together. Father, please help us, I pray. In the few moments we'll spend together, I pray it could be a profitable time, both for our faculty, our staff, our adult visitors that are in the room. Lord, certainly for our graduate students, our seniors, our juniors, our sophomores, our freshmen. And then for our College Days guests, thank you for every one of them. They've just brought a great spirit with them, and I thank you for them. Pray you'd speak to us from your word. Thank you for the great message yesterday. from Brother Abdel, and Lord, just to think about the things that we've heard and been exposed to, would you please, I pray, speak to us in these moments, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated. Most of you who are brought up in the Christian homes have heard this story, and you never want familiarity to rob you of curiosity. Every time you hear a story, if it's John 3:16 or Nicodemus or the little boy with his sack lunch, all of us need to be careful we don't check out our brain at the door and say, well, I know this story, I've heard this. And you have heard this story, I'm sure, many times. Many of you could tell it much better than I could. But sufficient to say is that it was a bad time to be an Israelite. There, it was a time of the judges, and Joshua had died, and everyone did that which is right in their own eyes. And every time they would do what's wrong, they would run into the arms of captivity, and they would get themselves in such a mess, and they would cry unto the Lord, and God would be so merciful. And I'm so glad He's a merciful God. But He would be merciful to them, and He would send someone to help them. Sometimes it was in the form of a lady like Deborah, Samson, when the Philistines were giving such a hardship to them. In this situation, it was Gideon. Other times it would be Barak, and there were other judges that God would send to help His people. And by the way, God wants to help us. He is gracious. He knows we're but dust, but we don't want to push the envelope, and you don't want to have to burn time in captivity and in the frustration of Midianites of your world. But this is what they were doing. And they were crying out to the Lord. Many people had cried. By the way, thank God for people who cry out to the Lord. Thank God for prayer meetings that take place. And I was thinking about this the other day as I was attending a prayer meeting from 6:30 to 7:30, and then here yesterday on the campus from 7 to 7:30 with many of our students and faculty and staff members who come and spend 30 minutes to just ask the Lord for help. I think it's so wise. I love to see prayer meetings of our bus route, and after chapel you'll meet and you'll stand together and you'll pray over the route. I got a picture of a group of girls and a young man or two that were praying in the rec center this week, and someone walked in, they were praying and thought, man, that's great. These people are giving. And you sometimes when you're praying, you're thinking, oh man, I need to get out and get something done. Well, that is the greatest work. Learning to pray is very important, and praying together is important. Jesus, whenever His disciples was getting ready to go to the cross, He told His disciples, watch and pray. And He came back and checked on them three times to see if they were engaged in prayer with Him. And notice, whenever two or three are gathered together in My name, where He is in the midst. He joins the prayer meeting. He is praying as we speak. He ever liveth making intercession for others, for you and for me. I'm glad God is praying. I'm glad the Lord Jesus is praying. I'm sure we ought to pray with the Lord Jesus with regularity. But these folks cried out, and the Lord heard their cry, because He does. He hears the cry, just like a mother hears the cry of her baby. My wife and I have 9 children, and boy, when our kids would cry in the middle of the night, Linda would be on the floor so fast, running to them. She'd be in a dead sleep. She'd hear the cry. She would know which room to go to, which baby was crying, what voice she heard, and she was responding to the voice of our child. And God responds to the voice of us. He cried out to them, and the Lord responded, because it was a bad time. And by the way, you live in a bad time. It's always been bad. Sin cripples society. It cripples things. But when the Bible tells us that in the last days, men will wax worse and worse, deceiving each other and being deceived themselves. And deceit gets you into all kinds of lies, and the lies of society, and the vanity of the minds of unsaved people, and the blindness of their eyes is unbelievable in this day. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. And some of you are struggling with some of the thinking, and is homosexuality something you were born with, or is it okay, or what about this and that kind of a thing, and how about these feelings I have, and all those things. You got to be very careful with that and go right to the Bible and take God's opinion on things. But here's what He said. God heard their cry, and He sent to His representation of Him, which probably was a Christophany. It probably was an Old Testament appearance of Christ, just kind of like in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were in the fiery furnace, and the king said, do we go 3 guys in there, or are there 4? And they said, I think we threw 3 in there. He said, looks like there's 4 in there. One of them is likened to the Son of God. And that was a Christophany, an Old Testament appearance of Christ. We believe probably this was, when you see the angel of the Lord, oftentimes it's Jesus. Now, I don't know that for sure, but I would assume that's the case. Nonetheless, the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon. Gideon is the youngest in his family. He's from the tribe of Manasseh. His dad's name is Joash, and he is there, and you could just see him frustrated, scared, nervous. He's over in the wine press, which is a kind of like it has a little small wall around it, circular, and they would bring a lot of the grapes and the things they would have there and smash them. And you might have seen people do that before, and they'd get in and smash them, and then the juice would come out on the vats on the sides of the places where it was. But it wasn't a place for crushing wheat, but that's where he was. And he was hiding from the enemies, the Midianites, who were just hell-bent on complicating their life, whatever they could do. And he had enough grain of some sort. Maybe it was corn. Maybe it was, it probably wasn't corn, but it was wheat or barley. He had some things, and he was smashing around, looking around at what was going on and trying to keep someone from coming and taking his little bit of food that he had that he was going to smash and take back to his wife and family to take care of things, or mom or what have you. In the middle of that process, the Bible tells us the angel of the Lord came to him. And he said, "Behold, the Lord is with you." And quickly he smarted off and said, "If the Lord's with us, then why in the world are we going through this? I don't think so. Where is the Lord, the one that brought our family out of the land of Egypt with a high hand? I don't think that's true. He says, no, I'm with you. And I'm going to use you to lead our people out of the hand of the Midianites." He said, "Look at that. You can't use me. I mean, I'm from a poor tribe and a poor family, and I'm the youngest of my family. You're not using me because I'm going to use you." He said, "Really?" He goes, "Well, I tell you what, don't leave, okay? Stay right here. I'll be right back. And promise you won't leave." He said, "I'll stay." And he went and he prepared a goat, like a young goat, and he fixed it up and cooked it, and he got some other things and some fixings to that. He brought it back to him, brought some soup, and he brought it to him, and he was still there. He said, I want to know if there's a sign that you could show me that you're going to really use me. He said, "Well," and then the angel of the Lord, maybe the Lord Jesus Christ, said, "Put it on the rock. Put the meat on the rock and put things in the rock." And he did. And then the angel of the Lord took the end of his staff and touched it, and the whole rock got on fire and burned up everything that was on the rock. All the food instantly went away. And he said, "Man, I guess maybe the Lord wants to use me." And of course, he went ahead with what he knew. But he called out and he blew a trumpet, a call to war. And he sent messengers into the tribe of Naphtali and Manasseh, his own tribe, and Zebulun and some of the other tribes, not the whole nation of Israel, but into his area. And he called guys, said, "Come, we got to come. There's a war to fight. We need everybody, every available man. You come." So every man 20 years and older who heard the call and got the message that was ready to go, glad or not to go, they all came. And 32,000 men showed up, but they were really totally outnumbered. They think as many as maybe 145,000 to 200,000 other people were against them, the Amalekites and the Midianites. It was just overwhelming. 32,000 wasn't anything compared to what they were. They were more than you could count. Their camels were hard to even evaluate how many camels they had. They just come to pester and aggravate and to captivate. But he got all the men, they came, they began to come, and he's still nervous as a cat on a hot rock, and he's wondering, he's like, "What am I going to do?" He said, "Lord, don't get mad at me, but would you just show me you're really with me?" He said, "Okay." He said, "Here's my idea, Lord. I'm going to bring this fleece, this lamb's skin that I have, and I'm going to put it out on the ground tonight. And Lord, if you really want me to do this, would you please make the ground dry and the fleece full of water on the dew tomorrow morning?" Went to sleep and he woke up and he went out there and he didn't have to walk on wet grass. He picked up the fleece and it was full of water. He wrung it out and said, "Wow." He said, "Lord, please don't get mad at me, but can we do this one more time? How about tomorrow morning, could you let everything be wet and that dry?" Sure enough, he went to sleep, woke up the next day, and He was walking all over dew, went to that, and it was just as dry as a bone. He said, okay, you want me to do this, huh? So he got the men together, 32,000 of them, began to talk to them. And as he looked over the men, he said, man, we are outnumbered, but let's do what we can do. And the Lord said, there's too many. Too many for this. He said, if you win with 32,000 people, the people are going to think they did it. And this time, I want them to understand, as in all times, that God needs to get the glory. See, I don't want it to be because of them. I want it to be because it's going to be some work. It'll be. I want the, at the end of the day, I want. And God is a little jealous of His glory, and you ought to be wanting that too. He said, all right, Lord, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to go among the groups and tell if anyone came and they were just nervous. They were scared. They're terrified. They're here because of responsibility, but they left their wives and their children and they're crying, Mom, Daddy, I don't want you to go. I don't want you to go. And they're saying, I don't want to go. I mean, this looks terrible. We're going to get killed. He said, ask everybody if you're nervous and you'd really rather be home. Got young men, their mothers are crying, their kids are crying, and everybody's upset because bigger brother's leaving off for war, and it doesn't look good. The cards are stacked against them, if you will. They're going to get killed. If you're nervous, you can go home. If you're scared, you can go home. Surprisingly enough, 22 people said, you know, I'm a little nervous, but, you know, I got to care about my wife and kids, man. My mother was crying so hard. I tell you what, I'm not that scared, but she was scared. You know, I'm sure. I want to comfort my mom. I love my mom. You know, they're actually terrified. So, but they all of a sudden, 22,000 of them walk away. And said, if you give us the out, I'll take this out. I don't think it's going to work. I'm nervous. So they left. I don't know what Gideon thought, but good night. 32,000, now we got 10,000. And he said, okay, well, Lord, what do you want me to do with these 10,000? He said, I need you to take them down to get a drink. They're just too many. Too many? No. Can't be too many. I mean, 32,000 wasn't too many. He says, too many for me, Gideon. I got big plans, and I want to make sure that nobody at the end of the day will say, oh, it was us. We were really ingenuity. We had a lot of ingenuity, a lot of strength, and boy, a lot of... take them down to get a drink and watch them drink. Tell them, everybody, go get a drink, and I want you to watch them, and I want you to put them in two different groups. So you're going to have guys that are going to go down, and they're going to get a drink like this. He said, when you see someone do that, then go ahead and put them in one group. You're going to see some other guys who are going to do like this, and I want you to put them in another group. I don't think Gideon knew which group was going and staying. He probably thought to himself, the group is getting bigger over here. So, well, good, we have to work with whoever we have over there. It looks like a good group over there. And the few guys were doing like this. He said, this is dumb bunnies. What are they doing, you know? At the end of the day, there's 9,700 over here, and there's 300 over there. He said, all right, Lord, I do what you want me to do, and I'm sure you want me to help these guys over here. And he says, no, tell them to go home. I need the cautious ones. I need the ones who have a little bit of a awareness of what's going on, not sticking their head in the water, but those who are looking around. So we'll take the 300. I'm sure Gideon said, you got to be kidding me. 300. He said, I want you to keep all the trumpets of everybody who had trumpets. Collect those. And he collected 300 trumpets. So everyone here had a trumpet. And everyone here had a bucket or a vase. He said, so the guys leave, but tell them to leave their trumpets. So he collected at least 300 trumpets to blow and vases that he was going to crash. And he's looking at them. He said, here's how I'm going to do it. Here's how I'm going to do it with you and these 300. And I'm sure his mind was just going a mile a minute as mine would be. Like, what? How in the world? He said, Gideon, I'm going to help you. I'm with you. I promise you, you are going to be used of me to get this done. Just trust me. He said, you're nervous? He goes, I'm scared to death. He said, you want a little more confidence? He said, yeah, I do. He said, okay, if you're nervous, I want you to take your little caddy there, your armor bearer, your guy that helps you, take him down. I want you to go at nighttime. when it's dark, right up to the camp of the Midianites, and I want you to just listen to them talk. Get up there and just listen to them. And so he and his sidekick went over there, and they listened. They heard two soldiers talking, and they said this to each other. They said, "You know, I had the wildest dream last night." He said, "This is crazy. But I dreamed that someone took like a barley loaf, like a roll, a dinner roll, and they rolled it into my tent, and my whole tent fell down." Isn't that crazy? And his friend said, "You got to be kidding me." He said, "Yeah, that's what happened." He goes, "No, that is nothing more than Gideon. That's a type of this guy I heard about is Gideon. And it's like Gideon, the Lord and Gideon are gonna win. They're gonna get us. It looks like a little dinner roll rolling into your tent and everything's gonna go crazy. That's what's gonna happen to us. That is nothing more than the sword of the Lord and Gideon." And Gideon heard that. He said, "Did you hear that?" And his little sidekick said, "Yeah, I heard." He said, "Wow. Even they're afraid." So they went back and he got with his 300 guys. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to surround their encampment. You're going to take a little time, but every one of you are going to take three things. You're going to take the trumpet I gave you. And you're going to take a vase or a clay pot. I want you to take that. You're going to have a light or a candle or a torch, probably more a torch. And I'm going to ask you to go and here's what you're going to do. I'm going to give you time. We're going to get all around there. And I'm going to go up on a hill so you can see me. And whatever I do, you do it. And when I tell you, I want you to blow the horn. And when I tell you, you see me crash break my pot, I want you to break your pot. Then I want you to hold up your light, your torch, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So you watch me and you do what I do." You could read the rest of the story, but God miraculously stunned them in the middle of the night. It was pitch dark. There were no lamp lights. There were no street lights. They didn't know what was going on. They're coming up out of nowhere. There's animals are going crazy. Animals are walking all over people. People are being trampled. And those who are not trampled are making flight. They're leaving, and they think when they wake up and they see each of those yelling things and all those trumpets, which usually meant a trumpet being blown, means there's more people coming behind them. They can't see them. All they can see is a light. They hear a loud noise. They hear the trumpet blowing. They hear people yelling, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. They're already terrified from something that God has given them in dreams. And they begin to walk all over each other, whack each other. Animals are running over everybody. It's crazy. It's mayhem. And then other people hear the news and they begin to follow the 300. They chase them. And there's a great victory that's won. And Gideon finishes. And there's lots of drama that goes on with other people who Gideon gets on the journey with them. They kill the kings of the Midianites. And God gives a great victory with 300 people and Gideon. 300 men. That's the story. Let me just make a couple applications if I can, and we'll go watch a ball game. Number one, I want you to notice that as it was a bad day for Israel, it's a challenging day in this world. It's bad. Transgender, alcohol, drugs, cannabis. People are so confused, miserable. Now the darker the night, the brighter the light. But the thing that would change everything would be a few good servants of Christ. God doesn't need a lot of people. He doesn't need us. Now he's chosen to use our hands to do his work today. He's chosen to use our feet to lead men to his way. He's chosen to use our lips to tell people about how he died. He's chosen to use our life to lead others to his side. There's no other gospel this world has. He has it in me and you. If the gospel's hid, it's hid in them which are lost. But God has put it inside of us, the mystery. in earthen vessels, that the glory might be made of God, not of us. The way God gets the gospel out is human beings, you. It's a dark night. It's miserable. And so many have run into captivity, not of the Midianites, but of the devil, the world, and the flesh. But I would say to you that God has a plan. And it's interesting, the people that God uses. The 300 people fit in this category. Number one, they fit in the category of just common people. There's nothing too flashy about any of us. There's a few of you, I would say, if I look at you, I'd say, man, they're going to do something. These kids are sharp. That girl is got it together. There's a few of us that you might look around and say, that young man, he has got it all together. But we're, if you're in that group, you're in the few. Most of us are just common people. We're just people that fit into the mold of just another man, another lady, another young person. We're not overly impressive to everyone, and God doesn't need us to be that way. You had to be confident. You had to be confident how God prepared you, how He's made you, how He's led you in your life. We're not all that in a bag of chips. But you know, God's not looking for the wise, and He's not looking for the strong and the mighty. He said, if a man's going to glory, don't glory in your might. Don't glory in your intellect. But if anyone wants to glory, glory in that you know and understand God. 1 Corinthians tells us that the world thinks what you're doing here and what happens here at Hiles Anderson College and what happens in your local church, what happens with your pastor and your ministry, and it may only be a church of 40 or 50 or 100 or 200, that's not really important. You are a bunch of fools. And Paul said, we're fools for Christ's sake. I get it. But you're also the salvation of many souls. But God doesn't use the fancy and the pansy. He uses the average, common man. And Gideon shows, look, Lord, I'm from a poor family in a Manasseh tribe, and I'm the youngest in my family. He said, I'm with you. So He uses common people. Number two, He uses clean people. One of the things I didn't tell you in the story, I kind of skipped over it, but whenever God says, Gideon, I want you to do this, before that and before He called everyone to come, God gave Gideon a responsibility. He said, Gideon, your dad and your family have set up an altar for Baal, and I'm not Baal. And they have grown trees. They have grown groves of trees right around that altar. And I'm not comfortable with that. Gideon, before I'm going to use you, I need you to clean up that mess. I need you to, you need to disregard the idol of your heart. I don't think you're doing it, but your dad's got it set up. The men of the city have got it set up. They got a whole altar there. They worship to an unknown God, and they got all these trees around it. It's got to go. You got to clean up some things. And Gideon, scared to death, he's a young kid, younger than everybody else, he's the youngest in his family. But he gets his friends and he tells them what God's told him. He said, hey guys, tonight when the sun goes down and gets dark, we got a little project to do. He doesn't want that altar of Baal. He doesn't want the trees that grow around it, that grove. It has to go down. You going to help me? And he got enough guys to go with him. And they went in the middle of the night and they began to shove the altar down and began to knock it down, and they began to cut the trees down where they all were felled. And then they went up and set up another altar, and he got a cow and offered that, not to Baal, but to God Jehovah. He made a commitment. And the more the next morning, it wasn't pretty. The men found out, they went up to worship Baal, and they saw their trees down, they saw the altar down. They came and they said, who did this? And all fingers pointed to Gideon. They banged on his dad's door. Joash, get out here. Do you know what's happened down here? And they say it's your son's fault. Bring him out so we can kill him for what he did to our God. What scared him, I'm sure. But Joash did something unusual. His daddy said, you know what? hang on a second. If that God's all that, let him take care of his own business. Let him kill my son. He can't defend himself. You got to come out here and you got to do his dirty work for him? I don't think so. And sure enough, they called him another name after that. Zerubbabel was someone who stood against Baal. It gave him another name. God, but you know, I find that God uses not only common people, but he uses clean people. You don't have to be talented, but you can be clean. And if you're going to be used by God, and you should be used, if you're going to be a bright light in a dark world, you're going to have to be different than the world. You got to figure out what's on your phone and what shouldn't be on there. You say, I want God to use me. You better go through your phone. Make sure there's nothing unclean on there. Make sure there's no things on your social media. Make sure there's no special app you're using to just disconnect for a while and go into some wickedness and foolishness. You better get clean. Make sure you're not texting someone you shouldn't text or showing something you shouldn't show or going into some off colors. You can't have being used of God, and he's not going to let you go on further until you get yourself clean. Some of us are good at getting cleaner, but we're just not clean. You haven't been clean since you were 13. You got stuff. You still got that nagging thing you want to keep. You want to have all the blessings of God. You want to be used of God. Anybody in this room, if you don't be used of God, you got rooms for rent upstairs. Unfurnished. I want to be used of God, but he's not going to use me if I want to keep my pet sins. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord. Hey, the hand of God is not weakened. He can't do anything. But he said, our sins, our iniquities have separated our God from us. You got songs you want to keep, and you know every time you listen to them, the Spirit of God says, I don't like it. But you say, tough, I like it. You're going to find you'll run right into captivity. You'll be the ones who'll go off because God's not going to use people who are not clean. And you can be as clean as you want to be. If you're not clean, that's your fault. If I'm not clean, that's on me. No one can walk with God for me. No one can be the family role I'm supposed to be for me. And nobody can be clean for me. That's why Apostle Paul said, keep thyself pure. God uses common people, uses clean people. Number three, God uses courageous people. Some of us, we need some courage. And courage does not come because of who you are, but who is with you. He said, hey guys, if you're scared, you can go home. You know, many people, the number one reason they don't serve the Lord is because of fear. They don't commit to the Lord because they're afraid. They're afraid they won't have enough money. They're afraid that they can't trust God with their dating relationships and who's going to be their husband, who's going to be their wife. They're afraid that they can't do the job that God's given them to do. And I know a little bit about that, being terrified and being afraid. What's going to happen to me? What if? You know who God uses? He uses common people, he uses clean people, and he uses courageous people. Boy, we need some courage in this day and time. One of the things that God commands us in the New Testament to do is to stand, and having done all, to stand. God doesn't want us to run. He doesn't want us to retreat. He wants us to stand. You don't always have to be the winners. You're not going to be the winners many times. But you can stand. You know what it takes to stand? Courage. And you know what you get courage from? The presence of God and the promises of God. You know, all that Gideon had to go on was God's presence. He said, I'm going to be with you. And you're going to win. You know what? You have that promise. Every one of us, no matter who you are, if you're a youngest girl or you're a staff and faculty member here, you're a pastor, I can have the presence of God and I can lean on the promises of God. And those things give me hope and courage. You can have a godly family. You can be a godly wife. You can be a godly husband. You can be clean. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Anything, when you have God's presence on you, you can do what God wants you to do. God uses common people, uses clean people, uses courageous people. Number four, he uses cautious people. You know, the Bible tells us, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil has had 6,000 years of expertise, experience in dealing with you and me. His tricks are still the same. His subjects are different. But he is watching people continually. He wants to find the weak one. The one that doesn't read their Bible, doesn't pray, doesn't just wants to go along to get along. The weak one, who's, anytime you're without God and without the Word of God and a walk with God, it weakens you. He's looking for the wounded one, the one who saw something bad happen in someone, their leader's life, and then they're wounded by it, or their dad, or their mom, or their teacher, or whatever. They did something wrong, and so now they're wounded by it. Someone got onto them, or they were treated unjustly, and their teacher didn't side with them, and now they let that be a root of bitterness. And, oh, Satan loves the wounded. He loves the weary one, the one who's just tired. They don't sleep enough. They're letting everything all just wear on them, and they're cantankerous, and they're weary because he knows he can chase them, and he'll have the step on them. He gets the wandering one, the one that leads the flock, that goes off to be a maverick on their own, and I don't have to listen to that. I don't have to do that. I'm sick of this bus route. I got my own thing. I'm going to do it. I'm done. And they move off and they move away, and that's exactly the target he wants to find. And he's watching. And the Lord says, listen, Gideon, you get the guys that realize that they gotta be attentive. You can't just bebop through life. One of the words I cannot stand that oftentimes our generation, people say, whatever. Whatever. That's opposite of being sober, focused. Careful, young people, watch out. Watch out for the flesh. Watch out for bad friends. Watch out for freedom. Some of you, young you guys, the summertime is coming, you're college students, and man, you've done so good, but something you need to be careful with is the freedom of summer. When no one tells you it's time to get up, when there's no chapel at 11 o'clock. You get a little bit of freedom, you got to figure out what am I going to do with my time. No one's telling me when I need to go to bed, and I'm not supposed to watch this, and then all of a sudden it can be a problem. God uses common people. He uses clean people. He uses courageous people. He uses cautious people. And the last thing I'll say, he uses people who are copyable. Gideon said, whatever I do, you do it. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. You need to be a testimony. An example. Oftentimes I've met people and they say, I don't want everybody watching me all the time. I don't want to live in a glass house. Listen, let your light so. It's our MO. It's our command. People don't need another cheap imitation of the world. They need someone very different. The kids in your home church, and they're 13 and 14 and 15, you're there. They're watching you. And you need to be able to say, do as, not as I say, but do as I do. Be copyable. Take care of basic things. Whether it be in a dorm room or your vehicle or your yard, whether it be in how you conduct yourself on the weekends or what you talk about or how you speak, people ought to be able to say, that guy lives, he's the real deal. She is the real deal. Not just talk, but they live it out. I want to be used of God. I want you to be used of God. And if you have a brain in your head, you want to be used of God. How can we do that? We can just be common people yielded to the Lord. How can we do it? We can be clean people, and you can be as clean as you want to be. If you want to be a pervert, you can do it. If you want to keep that stuff on your phone, you want to argue, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? You can do that. You can do the rest of your life until you see Jesus and say, oh, what an idiot. Why did I keep that? Why did I watch that? Why did I argue about that? You want to dress like you want to? You can do it. Thousands do. They're going to go to heaven. They're just going to go to heaven embarrassed. Because they know that that's not what God wanted for them. They got clean. They got courage. Not because of who they were, but because they knew God was with them. And that's what God kept telling Gideon. That's what he told Joseph. The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. But one thing I'd like for have all of me and all of you to be able to say about us, the Lord's with that person. And it gives you confidence. Cautious, careful. And then copyable. Let's pray together. Can we please? God speaking to your heart, I hope you'll speak back to Him. I think it's a good time just to say, God, is this, am I clean? Let me ask you, if you're not clean, why don't you get clean right now? If you got something on your phone, something in your life you know you're trying to hide and hold on to, let's deal with it right now. Right this moment. Say, God, I agree with you. I confess that as sin. I don't want to deal with that. I want to deal with that. How many of you say, Pastor, I want to have courage. I find myself as a coward when I need to be courageous. Let's stand together, if you would, please. While the instrument plays, if God wants you to speak to Him, you speak back to Him. Maybe someone say, Pastor, I want to be copyable. I got to remind myself that I am in the view of others, and I want the Lord to help me with that. Some may say, Lord, I want to be cautious, a little bit nervous. I don't need to be fearful, but I need to be aware of my surroundings. I've got a friend I need to probably say, we're just not good together. I've got to ask God for wisdom on what to do and how to handle situations at work or a flirtatious coworker or something that I know that's not good. I got to be careful. A house in Chicago I visit, I'm not good in that house. That's not a good situation. I've got to ask God to help me with. Oh, be cautious. Could all of us speak to the Lord about something this morning? Find yourself insecure about what you are? Forget that. I don't like my height. I don't like how I was, or I was raised poor, or I haven't had a date yet, or whatever it might be that comes to your heart and mind that you're finding there's something wrong with me. Just trust the Lord with how He made you, how He's prepared you, how He's led you, and trust Him again today. Our Father, I want to thank You very much for the chance to be with these young people. Bless each of them and encourage their hearts. Thank You, Lord, for the privilege of the Word of God and how applicable it is, even though written more than 2,000 years ago, so applicable for us today. Help us, Lord, to be captivated by You, used by You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remain standing.